And welcome back to Coast with John Truman Wolf, author of a couple books, including The Coming Financial Crisis and The 99 Strongest Banks in America. And when we come back in a moment, let's take your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. This hour, we'll take your phone calls with John Truman Wolf as we talk about economic things and what you can do to protect yourself. The Fed has been hinting about more interest rate hikes. What does that do, John?
Well, I think they're coming. They've already started, and they're coming, and it will theoretically, that's one of the reasons why the stock market has begun getting choppy, because as rates go up, people think, well, I'll invest in something that's interest rate sensitive as opposed to equities. It means home loan rates will go up. It means car loan rates will go up. I don't know, credit card rates are already so high.
They're high, sure.
I don't know how much further they would go up. But, it'll raise costs, George, across the board.
Not a good thing. And then,
Not a good thing.
How low can the stock market go, realistically, in your opinion?
Did you say how low?
How low can it go? How low can it go?
Well, that's a good question. Typically, a shakeout will go down 40%.
That's 10,000 points, right?
Yeah. My opinion is this one will be worse than that. So.
Wow. Will this be worse than 2008?
Without question, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh. We don't have any money to bail out anybody anymore, do we?
No. No, we don't. And, regardless of where you stand politically relative to the president, he's not in a position to stop this. If the Bank for International Settlements starts pulling the strings, this crisis will occur. They've already implemented, George, rules that call for banks to have more capital. So on the face of it, you think, oh, well, that's good. But underneath that, what happens is that the banks now have to put money in their capital account, which means they won't lend. This country runs on credit, George. It just runs on credit.
They have to lend. That's right.
If credit tightens, as it will this year with increased interest rates and this new rule from the Bank for International Settlements, the economy will come to a screeching halt. Now, that sounds like kind of heresy in the face of, you know, what we're seeing, low unemployment, all these people getting bonuses. That's great stuff. But if the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, you know, pops the derivatives bubble, this economy will not stand up to that. I hate to say it, but that's my look at it.
Well, the president has taken credit for what seems to be a booming economy at this point. Now, what happens if everything collapses? Is he going to take the blame?
I think so. I mean, you know, as I'm sure you know as well or better than I do, George, I mean, the country has become so fractionalized, so divided that...
Extremely.
And he's been, the president's been touting the stock market and its rise. You know, if it goes down, you can't say, okay, good, that, you know, it's going up because of my stuff. It's, you know, my programs aren't driving it down. I think it will hit. I think it'll hit the president and the Republican Party and hit them hard.
Now, is there anything that can be done to avoid this?
Well, I hate to be fatalistic, but these international bankers don't really care about you or I. They care about controlling economies and controlling the people who work in economies.
They enjoy seeing this happen, don't they?
Yes. Yes, they do. They not only enjoy seeing it happen, they cause it. I don't want to sound like a used car salesman, but in the book, The Coming Financial Crisis, I detail exactly how they cause it.
I've bought some great used cars, though.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said I bought some great used cars from car salesmen.
Yeah.
in my
exactly.
Career. But
yeah, me too.
But back to this. So they caused this. They want this. How do you combat it, though? How does a president? I mean, surely he must know what you know, right? Aren't his advisors telling him, President Trump in the next 6 months, you will not believe what's going to happen. I mean, are they telling him this?
I don't know, George. I really don't know. I have gone to Congress. I have talked to supposedly smart congressmen. This stuff goes over their head. They can't confront the evil of it. This is rough stuff. This is evil stuff. And you start talking about it, and it gets out of their reality, and they focus on their committee or their constituents or how much pork they can get. I don't think, this is my opinion, but I don't think the Trump White House has any idea the control the Bank for International Settlements has got on the global economy.
Interesting.
Most people have never heard of it.
Well, but this administration that is supposed to be so financially savvy should know about it.
Yes, they should know about it. I mean, it's why I write about it in my magazine and my books, and it's why I go to Congress and talk to people about it. And I think this is coming. Here's my view of it, George. I think the next crisis will be drastic enough that the United States will turn to the IMF for help.
That's huge.
They'll go, okay, good, save us. You know, the banks are crashing, the economy's crashing. They'll turn to the international banking community, meaning the IMF or the World Bank, but mainly the IMF, and go save us. And the IMF will go, okay, sure, here's X billions of dollars, sign this. I've seen the loan agreements between the IMF and countries, George. They would stand the hair up in the back of your neck.
Yeah, they get the country as collateral practically, don't they?
They get the country as collateral. They get tax policy. They dictate tax policy, agricultural policy, education policy. I've read these things.
If and when this comes, will it be like overnight, or will we gradually see it happening?
Yeah, I think it'll be fast. I don't think it'll be gradual.
Like a matter of weeks when it happens?
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll be a free fall. You can't stop it then.
So, no, I mean, you look what happened at the stock market last week. I mean,
I know it. You can't. You can't. If it keeps
1,600 points in a blink.
How would you rate the Obama economy coming out of a devastating George Bush economy in 2008 when he took over?
Well, I'm not a fan of the Obama economy for a couple of reasons, but mainly he doubled the debt. I mean, the debt was $9 trillion when he took over, and was about $19 trillion when he left. So, one of the things I was hoping for was this administration would reverse that policy, borrow, borrow, borrow. The projected budget deficit this year, George, Trump's budget is $1 trillion. The government does their financial planning backwards. They go, okay, how much are we going to spend? Okay, you know, war, welfare, interest on the national debt. Okay, good. $4 trillion. We're going to spend $4 trillion. Okay, good. What's the revenues? The revenues are $3.2 trillion. Okay, we're short $0.75 trillion. What do? We borrow it. They borrow it from the Fed. That's what the Fed is there for, is to keep the government under their thumb.
That's right. Let's go to the phones.
Look at the war in Afghanistan, George. 16 years, $1 trillion, thousands of young men and women dead for what?
And we're still there.
Where's our national interest there?
And we're still there.
And we are still there.
And the sad part about it is most Americans have forgotten we're still there.
Yeah, that's right. The war where? I sat in a conference at the Air Force War College a year or so ago, talking to the cream of the Air Force Officer Corps. I was invited to attend some seminars there, and these guys are patriots. That these are fighter jet jockeys. They're wonderful people, and we had heard a seminar on Afghanistan and Pakistan and yada yada yada. And then we went back to the room to discuss things, and I looked around the room. I said, this may be politically incorrect, but what are we doing there? And the room just was silent.
Nobody knows right now.
No, it's like, what? Well, we're fighting a war. Well, these guys are in the, they're in the business of armaments and war. But
while you were talking about the poppy seed production, it's dramatically increased since the Taliban was booted out.
spiked. If you look at the graph that the United Nations puts out, the poppy production was running along the bottom of the graph at, I forget the numbers, but very low production. The moment that we, declared the war on terror and bombed Afghanistan in October of 2001, and we threw the Taliban out, and we put Hamid Karzai in to get, anyway, there's a whole story to that. But you look at the graph, and the production of heroin goes straight up. I mean, you go on the internet and look at videos, George, of American troops protecting poppy fields.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about that.
I hate to say it, but it's like, what?
It doesn't make sense. All right, to the phones now we go. Randall is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Randall. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, I know I just I can't get enough of this show. That's why I keep on listening to it.
Good for you.
I got a couple questions.
All right.
And I guess Laura and Mark to go with the one question is, if the guest was to invest in cryptocurrency, what one or two would he invest in?
Okay.
And we're talking about the bullion too. Does he think that in the event of a bail-in, would the country, would the government confiscate the bullion? And does he ever think that just by chance the government would get smart and put the money back on the gold standard? Thank you.
All right, you got it. So three quick questions. Crypto.
Cryptos, obviously this is just my opinion, and they're volatile, risky markets, but the answer to his question is Ripple and Ethereum. Those are two that I think highly of. In terms of going back on the gold standard, I don't think so. I don't. I'd love to see it, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I won't say ever, but I don't think it's going to happen.
And would they confiscate gold? I mean, Roosevelt did that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did in 1933. I don't think so. For some reason, I don't think so. I don't have a lot of logic behind that, but there's a certain certain part of the country that get pretty fed up with that kind of stuff. And I don't think people would as willingly turn over their precious metals as they did in 1933. So I don't think they'll try and confiscate precious metals.
Let's go to Annie in Alabama, wildcard line. Hello, Annie.
Thank you. I like the cryptocurrency. However, the reason it's necessary to now establish an alternative hard currency, whether it be shells or privately minted coins, is because an electromagnetic pulse from the sun or a bomb would knock out the electric grid and the cryptocurrency, just like the Carrington event knocked out Western Union. So we need to have something minted up that people can be buying.
What do you think of that, John? There's always that possibility that if the power grid goes out from a couple of the things she just mentioned, which are very real, and it's happened before, but we didn't have an electrical system other than the telegraph that went out back in the 1800s. But
I agree with her. I agree. I mean, it's very problematic. The world now runs on the internet. This has become a digital world, and that's risky because somebody can pull that plug, and the most populations live online. So it's why I'm a strong proponent of gold and silver. It's always something that you can fall back on. I don't think the United States government is going to go to any kind of hard-based currency. They'll stay with fiat currency and then morph over to digital currency. I think that's coming without question. Digital currency is coming. As George and I talked about a little bit earlier in the show, there is a massive war on cash. Just very quickly, modesty aside, I've got an article on that subject up at the hardtruthmag.com on the war on cash. It's going away. I mean, there's no question in my mind that in X period of time, there will be no cash. I mean, people will hoard it. But so, again, that's why I encourage folks to, get some precious metals. And I think the caller is correct. And there is that risk.
If you hoard cash, and it goes away, they basically say we're not using cash anymore, what happens to that cash you had hidden away?
I think there'll be a black market in it, George, and I think the value of the cash will go up.
You do. Okay. So a $100 bill might be worth a couple hundred. Who knows?
Or more. I mean, I think there'll be a barter economy if they take cash away, and I think people will use it to buy things and so forth, and I think it'll become more valuable.
Next up, let's go to DJ in Santa Cruz, California. Hi, DJ. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hello, John.
Hi.
The Federal Reserve, my question is regarding the Federal Reserve stock purchases. They've made significant purchases in the U.S. market. And as we know, the Fed has the power to print as much money as they like. If the Fed is indeed reducing its balance sheet, will they begin to sell off their stock holdings? And how will that fit into all this? I mean, do you think the possibility of the Fed beginning to sell could have been any part of this recent volatility and declines, or if not yet, when they do begin to sell, what kind of risk does that pose to the market?
That's a very sophisticated question, and it's a good question. One, they are, as you know, or as you state, the Fed is reducing its balance sheet. Or intending to do so. I don't think, or at least I'm not aware, that any sales of equities from the Fed caused the recent spike down. But if one looks at this scene as a crisis by design, something that's being designed and created by the Bank for International Settlements and or other central banks, then when they want to create the crash, then they'll dump their equities, and the market will go down. I don't think, at least to my knowledge, that didn't occur here. What was it last week? But the possibility of it occurring and affecting the stock market is definitely there, and I think it will be used as a detriment to the economy. Frankly, I mean, everybody. I'm presuming that many of the listeners know. The Federal Reserve Bank is owned by the New York banks.
The banks, the big banks. It's not owned by the federal government at all.
Yeah. I mean, the only control, if you even want to call it that, of the Fed is, the president gets to appoint the chairman, et cetera. But the masters of the Fed are the major money center banks in New York.
Why do they let the president appoint the chairman of the Fed, even though the Fed has nothing to do with the federal government?
I think it was a straw kind of thrown to get that bill passed.
It's to trick people.
I mean, it took, Ron Paul, 30 years to finally get an audit of a week or so of the Fed during the financial crisis.
Yeah.
And what was shown in that audit was just eye-popping. So they're independent, quote, independent, and they just refuse to have their books looked at. This is a criminal organization that basically dictates to the politicians. Wall Street owns Washington, D.C.
Always did.
Yeah, always did is right.
We're going to come back in a moment, John. We'll take final phone calls with you. John Truman Wolf, his website's got a couple of them, thehardtruthmag.com, and then his name, John Truman Wolf with an E at the end, .com. Both of those are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We make it easy for you. Couple little things for you. First of all, if you go to our coasttocoastam.com website in the Coast Store at the top of the page, sign up there for our free newsletter. It's called the Coast Zone Newsletter. It's delivered right to your computer or smartphone in the morning, and it's free. So just go there under Store, click it, and sign up for the Coast Zone Newsletter. That is free. And welcome back to our final segment with John Truman Wolf as we talk about economic times, and John is predicting a collapse. Could you say it's a huge collapse coming, John?
I'm afraid so, George.
And you know what? You're not alone in saying this. I've had other people on the program, and they all feel the same thing. I hope everybody's wrong, but I
hope I'm wrong too. I hope I'm wrong too. But the data tells me otherwise, and maybe it's incorrect, and maybe the timing isn't what I think it's going to be. But at least from what I can see, it's going to be a rough 2018 at some point.
How long will it take to pull out of that?
Boy, that's a really good question, George. you know, I mean, I would think, you know, months to a couple of years. I think this is going to be really, really rough.
Jeez, that's going to hurt the president's reelection, that's for sure.
No question about that.
Let's go back to the phones. We go to Carlos in Carson, California. Hello, Carlos. Welcome back.
Good evening. Good evening. Very interesting topic. You know, in the last 30, 40 years, we've had several deflationary cycles, but it appears we had one in 1980, culminating Jimmy Carter's incumbency, where interest rates got up to 16-17%.
Even higher.
We had one in the 90s, where there was billions of dollars worth of losses. But in the 2000s, it was trillions of dollars. So it appears that each successive deflationary period gets worse and worse. So what's going to happen this next time? How bad is it going to be? I mean, you know, in the last one, I remember the stock market being at its height at about, I think it was 7,000, a little bit over 7,000. It dropped down to about 3,600.
Well, he's predicting, Carlos, that this one will drop about 10,000 points. And as he said, it's going to be a bad one. What do you see, John, in terms of signs that make you say this?
Well, there's a couple of things, George. When you look at the graph of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is one of the things that I use, the graph looks very toppy, and there are things that indicate when it's toppy. One of those things is high volatility, which we've seen over the last week or so. The other thing is not just the volatility, but it's the volume of selling that's going on. And if you look at the graph on the amount of transactions that have been occurring in the last week, it's high. I think this is going to bounce back up and run for another little bit. But I think this market has, even though it may run and there's probably a little bit more upside to it, I think the indicators now with the amount of volume, which is really the question that you asked, indicate that the guys that have been raking in the money here for the last several years are beginning to sell off in large numbers.
Interesting take. First time caller, John in Palm Harbor, Florida. Welcome to the show, John. Go ahead.
Yes, I thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have one question for you. Long time listener to Coast, and you know, I listen to guys like Gerald Celente, John Williams, and your guest here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a huge difference in what the executive office is going to do this time as compared to the Obama administration in regards to the infrastructure package, which is going to put a lot of money back in the American workers' pocket. And I don't think the stock market is going to take that kind of fall like you think it is. And the other question I've had, and I say this with all due respect, I've been listening now for years in the investment in silver. We know it's going to go up at some time, but a lot of people put a lot of money in silver when it was at $25 and $30 and then lost a lot of money. And I think it's way too soon with this little bump that we've had to make the prediction that the stock market's going to go down that far. And there's got to be some other solid indicator other than volatility, which there's always been volatility. I'd like to ask the guest, is there something concrete that you see that's different?
All right, let's take that one first, John, if you would, that part.
Sure. Look, in the first place, I don't have a crystal ball. I got 30, 40 years of experience, and, I've made calls, and they've been incorrect. So I'm not perfect, and I don't have a crystal ball. That said, the things that I'm looking at are, it's not just the volatility. You have to look at a graph of the Dow Jones and see what has happened to this market. There is a certain technology in reading how the market performs, and the graph of the Dow Jones indicates that it is, if it's not at a top, it's nearing a top. Relative to silver, silver has run from, I've promoted silver since it was $5 an ounce, and it's gone up and it's gone down. A few years ago, it was at, 40 and change. It's now, trading around 17, 18 bucks. But you look at the graph on silver, and it's flat, meaning it's slowly accumulating. People are slowly accumulating it. And I think the argument that it's going up, I'm just a very strong proponent in silver. It may take some time, may not be tomorrow or next week, but I think it's very wise for people to hold on to some precious metals, and particularly silver, based on how it has performed over the last few years.
And infrastructure, will increased spending on infrastructure save the economy? I don't think so.
I don't think it'll save it. I think it'll be beneficial, but I don't think it's a savior.
It'll help a little bit.
Yes, I think it will.
Next up, let's go to Ian in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Wildcard Line. Hello, Ian. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to discuss some things that have been on my mind as far as the economy and the direction our country is going in general.
Sure. Go ahead.
I've been thinking a lot about this, trying to understand the things that are going on. I mean, out of all nights, the shooting and everything. And it's getting me concerned. You know, and I'm really thinking, like, we need to find a way not to have what you would call a revolution, but something that we can clarify on what we need. And I think what it definitely comes down to, obviously, is energy, free energy, any way we can, doesn't matter, but we need to figure it out because we keep trying to cut the pie. And as that pie gets more and more rare, you know, things happen. So on top of energy, we also need to focus on things like our education, re-educating everyone.
I think it would be great if we could get free energy, Ian. But realistically, John, we're not going to get that, are we?
No, I don't think so, because it costs. I mean, it is. It's a good thought. It's a beneficial thought. But whoever it is, whether it's the big oil that we know now or somebody else, you know, there are expenses. It costs money to produce energy, whether it's getting oil out or some other form of energy. So, it costs money. Then somebody's putting their dollars in, and they'll need to get paid to do that. I mean, there is no, in talking about energy or fossil fuel, oil is abiotic. Oil is not a bunch of plants and dinosaur bones. Oil is actually, there is no such thing as peak oil. Oil is combustible chemicals in the Earth's surface.
I agree with you. It is abiotic, and there's probably an endless supply. Doesn't mean we should be polluting, but I think the planet makes it.
The planet does make it, George. You're 100% correct. And there is no peak oil. But you won't hear that information coming from the oil industry. They promote the fact that oil is scarce and so forth and so on. The Russians discovered abiotic oil some years ago, and they became the largest producer of oil because you have to drill down to this this chemical combustion to get the oil. But if folks are interested in that, they should read about abiotic oil. It's a fascinating subject.
And in some cases, some oil fields have filled back up again.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
Yep, it's amazing stuff. Okay, let's take a few more calls here. Joe in Manchester, Connecticut, I guess. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hello, George. Hi, John. How are you tonight?
Great, thanks.
Hi.
I love this show. I love your economic perspective shows. They're very relevant to the people living here in the United States. My question is this. Since 2001, after 9/11, I've been investing $500 a month in silver coins, the old 1964 and prior dimes, quarters, and halves. I currently have accumulated over 20,000 face value, and I keep adding. Wouldn't you think that coin-denominated silver coins would be better than cash as far as bartering in the future under a worst-case scenario?
Yes. One word answer, yes. Pre-65 coins are 90% silver. So not only do they have the silver content, but they're actually currency of the United States. So you can buy what's referred to as junk silver, which are bags of dimes, quarters, and halves produced prior to 1965. And I think that's a very smart way to, a very smart place to put your reserves, Joseph.
In the coming minutes here, John, where can people get your books?
You can go to johntrumanwolf.com. And both of the books that we've been discussing are there. The Coming Financial Crisis is there. Also, the 99 Strongest Banks in America are there. And if people want to kind of stay up with my writings, I publish a monthly newsletter at thehardtruthmag.com, thehardtruthmag.com.
Tom in the Bronx, welcome to the show, Thomas. Go ahead.
How are you?
Hey, Tom.
I'd like to say that Abraham Lincoln was killed by the big bankers. It wasn't just a random murder, because he wanted to retain the dollars he was printed during the Civil War. And after the Civil War, he told the big bankers that he was going to continue the practice, or even before that, that's when they decided we have to get rid of Lincoln because we're going to create eventually something called the Fed. At that time, it was big bankers that said, any money that was ever printed, we're going to print you the money and we're going to charge you for printing the money. In other words, the wheel was invented,
that's
but
right.
we're going to...
We have free money, but
wheel.
We're going to make money on it.
And they turned around and made sure that he wasn't around anymore. And it was about, 1904 or so that they twisted the U.S. government's arm in Jekyll Island. They went down to that island, Jekyll Island, secretly.
Yep.
And they created
the Federal Reserve there. That's where it was born, I think. And John, it's gotten stronger and stronger, hasn't it?
It is where it was born. And you're right. Lincoln went in the middle of the Civil War. They were running out of money. Lincoln went up to New York, talked to the New York bankers. They said they'd loan the government the money at 36%. Lincoln basically, I'm not going to use the words, but he said, you know, that's not going to happen. He came back, and the government started printing its own money called greenbacks. They were green, and bypassed the banks and started printing greenbacks and continued for a certain period of time, and then that stopped. Whether or not that was John Wilkes Booth's motive or people behind him, I don't know. But I do know that Lincoln tried to borrow the money from the bankers. The bankers were going to stick it to him. So he did what the Constitution says, and he started the government printing money. The government should print money. We shouldn't have the Fed printing money. There's no reason that we shouldn't, you know, print money. Then we don't have interest on it.
So how fragile is the stock market right now?
I think it's very fragile, George. The stock market's run on emotion. You know, while the economy has, you know, definitely had a good year, and without banking intervention may continue for some time, the fact of the matter is the stock market is run on emotion. It's not run on the economics of the, you know, the country, the companies that make it up.
Right. Now, we've seen price-earning ratios way out of whack.
Way out of whack. So it's, you know, it's fragile, very fragile.
Derek in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Got about a minute left, Derek. Go ahead.
Yes. Good night. I was just basically wanted to ask about the banks. Which bank would be the strongest here in Florida? Because there is a credit union by the name of Brightstar. I was wondering if I could invest my money in that. And another question.
Well, let's just get the one in first in case the clock gets us. Banks in Florida. Any specific ones, John, that are strong?
You know, the book on the JohnTrumanWolf.com website called The 99 Strongest Banks in America has got them broken down by state.
Okay,
so
good.
So you can go to Florida and you can find a strong bank in the state of Florida.
What do you think of credit unions?
I like credit unions. They're nonprofit. Their interest rates are lower. They give dividends to their depositors, and they generally don't have derivatives. I like credit unions.
John, thanks for being on the program. I appreciate it. Keep in touch. And now, if this thing collapses, when do you anticipate it?
Well, I think this year at some point.
George, oh, gosh.
You know, let's hope I'm wrong.
I mean, we're rolling into March already.
Yeah, I know we are. Yeah, we're halfway
it's going through, way too fast.
Halfway through February.
Jeez.
Anyway, let's hope I'm wrong, but I think it's very possible that 2018 this will occur.
Okay, John. And John
said, I'm just to respond to your comment. It's always such a pleasure being on your show. You're such a great host, George, and I always enjoy talking to you.
All right, you keep in touch. John's websites are linked up again at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Ted Vanson joins us as we talk about ghost investigations.